Everybody can hear me.
Viskas galima jau kalbėti, ne?
I hope we can start.
Ar jau ateina vertimas?
Do we have the translation already in the headphones? Can you hear me? Thank you.
Taigi šiandien noriu pristatyti.
So today I would like to introduce.
Noriu prisistatyti, kad nesu
myself first of all, and I am not the specialist in the area. I only learned about this issue and about this initiative from Mr. Jeffrey Bilder, who visited Vilnius last year, and we had an interview printed and published by Martin Fenner. And last year I had a chance to read this interview, and this interview was taken in 2009. This interview had so much information about identifiers. My head was spinning and I could not understand what was happening. Only later I learned about ORCID and about the initiative, and I was invited to participate to ORCID, which was a wonderful opportunity, and we could only contribute by disseminating information about it, about this wonderful project. It was always interesting to me, this topic, and I continued reading about identifiers. And I learned about the workshop by Mr. Goodman, who is also here. And I would like to tell a little bit more about how this conference came about and why you were invited to participate. At that time, I learned that there are so many projects working on this topic, and so many people and teams are working in this field as well. This was a discovery to me that so many specialists are trying to resolve the same issue. And I asked then myself, why? Why scientists, why scholars should be interested? They should be interested in their scientific fields rather than some specified areas like that. I'm so sorry, I see that my battery is dying, so I will grab my cord very quickly.
I'm very, very sorry.
Energy is a key issue in any business.
Yes, and sometimes the internet is very important for us. Yes.
In 2009, when I first had a chance to listen to Jeffrey, I saw this map, the map of science. And then I was listening to Mr. John Boylan, and then it was very interesting that this map shows publications. Publications published by scientists, by researchers, and they represent more than 30 indicators, technologies that are trying to weigh and measure something that is pretty much impossible to measure, the quality of an output, or even the authority of a researcher and the value of a researcher. That was also very interesting. And last year I had a chance to attend a conference in Santa Fe, and this conference focused on scientometrics, and Mr. Ilo Siever actually broadcasted all the presentations live. It was especially important to us in Lithuania. Of course, we do realize that traveling so far can be problematic. And these experienced people talked about how in the future activities and outputs of researchers could be measured. Nobody likes to be measured or evaluated. All researchers would like to work in their area, in their field, and be remunerated for that or funded. But still, it is a very important area, and Mr. Hankam Eden gave a very interesting presentation on measuring. scientific output, and it was interesting that these outputs can not only be publications or patents or courses, but also other things that we don't think about. But actually, these different aspects form the entire picture of a life of a researcher. Later, I had a chance to participate in another conference in which I saw that referencing and citation is not the only topics, and technologies allow us measuring many other factors as well. Jeffrey Builder also gave a presentation in RISC seminar. And this presentation explained that it's very problematic to identify the first author, the second author, their inputs, and the problem is not only in trying to measure the inputs of the first and the second author, even the accessibility of two data and how to search for this data. And if you have access to search the data, how to find something that you're looking for or someone that you're looking for. In Lithuania, we have two professors, Gintautas Tamulaitis, but we have a doctor, Gintautas Tamulaitis, who works in the same scientific area, and it's very hard to tell them apart in all databases. Of course, we also talked about the issue with Chinese names. And it was interesting to learn what scholars think about it, why that's important to them. Therefore, when we were planning to organize the conference, and we learned that they are going to talk about these topics to specialists, i.e. yourselves, who are related to measuring data and other issues, this conference is very, I would like to say, important to me, because it's not enough sometimes to read an article or to read some information, for example, about ORCID, and this helps us to put a name to a face, so to speak. And I'm also very thankful to the Parliament that provided us with this room, and also our partners that helped us to organize this conference, the Vilnius Gedimino Technical University and other partners. So thank you to everyone who contributed to organizing the conference. And you saw the partners listed on the slide. So this idea came about that we should not only organize the conference, but also ask scholars what they think about and what sort of situations they end up with. And this survey was not collated by a professional, but by someone who looks at these issues from aside. So I would like to thank to everyone who reviewed the survey questions. Thank you very much for comments that you provided, and it was also very interesting, as at the beginning we thought to contact institutions so that institutions would disseminate the survey within to their members and to their scholars and researchers, and then we decided that it would be much easier to send it to those that have publications already. So we used the available email addresses, and I read one blog by Martin, and he said that it's not very good to have such a blog because it provides all the personal data, including emails, but it's very hard to get email addresses from a database. So our work was hard. We had to go through the data that we exported about researchers, which means that emails went to only those researchers, publications of which already existed on the databases. So we chose SurveyMonkey system, we sent a certain number of emails, and we decided to group emails into groups, general and according to countries. So, for example, if we had an email address to Sweden, it was .se. The most difficult part was to go through the USA addresses. So we sent to everyone we had related to that institution, to all addresses. So the same person would receive only one survey, and whoever filled the survey in only could provide answers once without amending the data they provided before. So no stepping back, but stepping forward only. But you could skip questions. At the beginning, the responders ended up without finishing the survey. But once we allowed skipping some questions, the number of those who filled surveys to the very end increased significantly. And I also noticed that it does not depend on the number of responders of how many men versus women responded, so gender-wise. So whether we had 500 or 800 responses, we had only very small variation gender-wise. And we also saw in collectors that it's still open and we still have forms coming in, but quite a big number of emails were returned as sent to a wrong address. Of course, quite a few returned because they were identified as spam, and we sent quite a few. It's a good thing that we received quite a lot of responses, more than 3,400, and only 2,600 finished filling in the questionnaires to the very last question. So as we see, according to countries, the distribution is quite clear, provided on the slide, and quite a lot of surveys came back from the US, Sweden, Italy, Germany, but we specifically sent to these email addresses that were identified as addresses from this country. And we still have time and we plan to send more to surveys to Japan. And we did not send a lot to the United Kingdom. English is a wonderful language, we decided, but actually we received some comments that maybe we should show this survey form to the language specialist. Maybe some questions are not very clear. And after we've done that, we changed only a little bit in all questions. And it's a good thing that SurveyMonkey allows doing these kind of amendments, but not all. Interestingly enough, questions became sort of more easy to understand. But then we would receive a response or a question, what do you mean by that? So it should be said that English language is somewhat difficult. So what sort of audience did we have? The experience in research, a scholarly experience, we had different people responding, 30 to 45 years old. In UK, I found one survey that people older than 45 still attend libraries and take books out, take books on a train, for example, but younger than 45 usually attend libraries electronically. So this is why we left this difference, 30 to 45. And there's no difference between being 30 and being 40. So what science fields areas were involved? So basically, those areas outweighed the publications in which were more numerous on a database. It's quite difficult to group it by science fields if you take by big blocks like natural sciences, technology, etc. Because usually people choose other, and here we had mathematics, physics, and usually if researchers work somewhere deeper or in an interdisciplinary area, they find it very difficult to identify, therefore they mark other. So, all of the audience responders responded to the question whether they collect the scholarly record. And at the beginning of the survey, we explained what do we mean by that, that those should be activities related to their academic activities, academic life, not only publications, but also other activities related to a researcher's scholarly life. So 86% register and list all of their outputs. And we tried grouping it by country, as the survey system was very comfortable, it was easy to filter, therefore we filtered out those who identified their main institution in Japan, for example, we would show 83%, and in Netherlands 86%, in Estonia we had the least level of those who register their activities. It does not depend very much on a country, as we see, but in larger countries more than 80% of researchers usually collect their scholarly record by their own initiative in order to have this information at their hand. When we asked that why don't you register your output, answers varied as well, and I can hardly see to the very end of the room, but usually people would not think about it ever and only start registering their outputs as soon as they are requested by someone or for some reason. So usually researchers that do not register their scientific output only focus in their research field. And some technologies, as we heard today, allow accounting the output of a researcher and their input in this academic field. So we asked what kind of information do they register and what information is requested to be registered by their institution. We wanted to find out the difference between the output as viewed by a researcher and output as viewed by an institution. So mostly valued by researchers are publications, as we found, and when we asked that whether your institution in which you work actually registers your output, most responders did not know that. So I did not filter that yet in order to find out in which country researchers did not know what sort of information was registered by the institution. Another question was, please identify what sort of outputs are registered. And for that purpose, I made a table in order to find out what is registered by a researcher and what is requested to be registered by an institution. First, of course, at first place is publications. They are most valued by both researchers and institutions. And in red, I marked the greatest differences. For example, membership in organizations, and institutions do not take much interest in that, and even reviewing, which requires quite a lot of time, it's time-consuming, it's important to a researcher, but not to an institution. So there are some differences in understanding the value of outputs and understanding the active involvement of researchers. And We don't have teaching here, but quite a few respondents mentioned teaching. As soon as we prepare the reports, you will see more information. And we also had a filter that in Whitefield, from everyone, of course, who provided a response, but next column provides filtered information, i.e. responses of those who responded and said that they collect their scholarly record themselves, and that institution also collects that information, and they provide themselves some information. So the number of responders dropped, but there is not much difference. Therefore, the data is very similar. It was very interesting to see this possible difference in this area. So how do researchers do that? Quite a big percentage collect their scholarly records. So what do they use for that? Note, Word, Microsoft Excel, but mostly, let me go back. So most responders, said that they use a Word program or something similar, editing program, and others who identify, I use certain software. Once they were requested to identify what sort of software, usually they use Word or Excel or similar programs like that. And another question was, do you believe that the complete list of your research activities, which is publicly accessible, can improve the public awareness of your of you as a researcher? Quite a few believe that yes, but a considerable part did not think so. Others said maybe. And those were usually the ones that provided responses, most responses as other. So I'm very thankful to those responders who did not feel lazy and provided comments. They were very useful. We also looked in this respect what opinions varied by country. Japanese, we found, are not great believers in the internet, and only few believe that information provided on internet would improve their image as a researcher. Mostly, the believers in internet live in Italy because they believe that this could improve their image. So that was by country, distribution by country. Then we asked, why don't you believe that this would be helpful? And this is therefore not necessary. We received quite different responses, and only few are present, but most of them were very similar. I think that you've read through them already, so we can go next. Another question was to those who do not believe that providing information on the internet would be helpful to their image, whether they research any information on the internet on other researchers themselves. 92% said yes, and therefore we tried again, looking at results by country. And we saw that in Ireland, this is very popular, which as they have 96%, and Japanese again seem to be least trusting in internet. Then we asked a question about the list of CVs. How often do they have to gather this information to provide it for some purpose, i.e. to receive grants, etc.? We found that, of course, it takes quite a lot of time, 1 to 5 times per year. 68% of researchers would sit down to draft a scholarly record, and it takes 10 to 30 minutes to 35% or so, and even more time, more than 60 minutes, which is quite a big portion of respondents. The purpose of the survey was to acquaint you with information, and I know very well that when I receive a survey to be filled in, it helps me learn something. And I always think that scientists and researchers are curious by nature, and they would be very curious to finish the survey to the very end, and we provided them to boost their curiosity with this list. And have you heard about or used any of the following systems that let you collate your research activity? And I listed ORCID, although it's not functional yet. And Mike suggested that we would let them choose between I have used, I have heard of, not heard of. It was the hardest question to respondents, and I don't know whether the result is very useful because it seemed quite strange. And I looked at it from the statistical point of view, and Scopus author ID was the greatest numbers of I have used, but also I have heard of and not heard of. Quite a few actually skipped this question because it seemed probably quite difficult. And, maybe we should have some said in comments, maybe we should have added Google Scholar and other systems. And quite a few, it was obvious, found this issue and this question and this idea very new. If I'm not going to dwell very much on this topic, but another interesting question was, what do you expect from such systems? And a lot provided us with answers, and we asked them to mark four most important reasons. And in the first place, of course, the system needs to be user-friendly, and it should be easy to collect data. This is the leading response, showing that it's especially important to researchers, and open data came second, which shows that researchers usually pay attention to open data possibilities. Number three is the fact that the information that would be provided would be trusted, that they would no longer need to provide additional data to somehow verify some sort of data still. And at the very end, researchers had a chance to provide comments if they wanted to. So I only copy-pasted some comments that we received. We didn't receive a lot of comments, only 45 or 48, and quite a big group actually asked to be provided with the results of the survey. Preprint. So basically, you can see what comments we received so far. Quite some. And many researchers actually spent time to elaborate on their ideas and understanding in this area. And this is where I would like to finish. A lot of information we received 110 queries regarding the results of the survey. So there was a big interest, not too little. And I think this is the best thing. saying that, fingers crossed, that you would find the best system. So this
thank
is the
much.
Survey.
For
thank you very
interesting
much.
Interesting data, new data, and for initiating this survey. And let's continue our workshop on bilingual mode. Please ask questions. Or maybe somebody has comments.
Just a quick comment. This was amazing. So I went through the survey, as you remember, a few weeks ago, and I was thinking, this looks interesting. Didn't really think of it more. Then I see you got thousands of responses to this, and it's just fantastic to see. It's really useful.
Oh, thank you. But it not finished yet, and you know, every day is arrived and right responses. Yes. Okay. Taip.
Galiu lietuviškai?
Taip.
First of all, as we cooperate with Eleonora, it's wonderful to see such an enthusiastic person, and she is truly spending a lot of time and effort in trying to get us interested in these ideas. And people from Klaipėda living by the sea are usually quite cold, but still we get interesting as soon as she talks. And her working in a university myself, and I see that it's a very big job to researchers to put together a scholarly record. I can see, Eleonora, that you made a huge first step looking at how researchers think a system should be put together so that system would be comfortable to use to researchers. And hopefully we will arrive to the result that maybe a researcher will no longer have to work on a scholarly record and it would just appear itself somehow and he would be probably awarded a Nobel Prize. Well, I'm very honored seeing that these are my colleagues. I'm very new in this area. I'm very enthusiastic, but I'm very new. And I'm really caught by this idea, and researchers usually are waiting for this miracle to happen, and they would probably pull some money together for the prize for somebody to develop this miraculous tool. But now we're trying to make sure that not only researchers and institutes, but even higher standing officials will understand why this is important and why this tool would be so helpful to researchers. And I would like to wish the best of luck to ORCID. But you know what I think? As a person distance from provision of metadata and such complex matters, I think that every country, every state develops, designs systems that cost millions, and few years later you can see that those systems fail and that data in such systems do not participate in international communication. I don't know how to impact these great project designers, so they would start cooperating with innovative projects. I am very enthusiastic advocate of ORCID, maybe the reason being that I don't understand it fully, but what's been designed by Crossref specialists works perfectly fine as a clock, and it does not cost millions. Let's see how much is invested by some countries into systems to avoid plagiarism. Sometimes it seems that we don't need to develop a wheel afresh. All we need to do is exchange information, and things that are done by ORCID is a very important job, and I'm sorry I'm being an advocate, but this is a question and a comment.
About Lithuanian researchers, because you did a very, very big survey, and you surveyed very lot researchers from different countries. And what about Lithuanian researchers? It is one question. And another question is concerning reference list. Because our colleagues from Klaipeda University said that, yes, you are, your idea is very good. But you know that in Lithuanian universities is possibility to have automatic reference list, because all these lists are created automatically. And for example, at the University of Kaunas University of Technology, we have possibility to have list of all our publication, this all impact factors, and so on. So it's not very new idea. And this data comes from 1992. So it's maybe for 20 years publication. So I think that it's not problem to have the system, but it takes a lot of work to make input, and then you can create this list automatically. So I don't know if all universities have this possibility, but some of the universities has this possibility.
Responding to your first question, I would like to say that you know how it happens. When you live in a small country, and we know that Lithuania is not a very big country, we know each other quite well, and I did not dare starting the survey from my colleagues in Lithuania, saying that we have this long list of researchers and we have emails, but we are going to do that after the conference. The problem with small countries is usually the language. We tried discussing that, whether we should translate the survey into Lithuanian or send it in English, and we decided to send it in English to have the identical questions, as we have quite a few respondents from Romania and other countries to which English is not their native tongue. They do have this language barrier. Lithuanian researchers are going to receive the survey, and for today we only have 4 responses, and we found them just by chance. But we are planning to send the survey to them after the conference. And another question about systems that are available in Lithuania and how they could be related or linked. I don't know, this is not a question to me, maybe Martin could say, but probably he doesn't know what sort of system we have in Lithuania. So I don't know, Gintara, how to respond to this question of yours. I know that we have something in Lithuania and we could somehow link it to something that's available in the world, but whether we can find some research. For example, I had a question. I enjoyed this survey so much because I received quite strange comments. For example, one Swedish researcher said that you probably know Lithuanian researchers and we are going to make the seminar on zebrafish, etc. Maybe you have people working in this area. So that is actually interesting on how and what we should do, so that researchers, if they have similar publications and databases, then maybe Kaunas Technological University database would be helpful in finding a colleague in some other country, in Romania or in Ireland, without using these expensive databases that we cannot access. Only 2 universities have access to these expensive databases. Sometimes Google Scholar helps, but actually this scholarly communication is problematic.